You are listening to Schmimcast, a behind-the-scenes look at Improv Schmimprov, Orange County's most popular late-night improv comedy show, from the perspective of its cast members and creators. For the latest episodes of
Schmimcast,
please visit Schmimcast.com. You can also hit us up, which is a phrase I would never use, on Twitter at the call sign at Schmimcast. And of course, you can always come see Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. at the Maverick Theatre in Fullerton, California. For information on upcoming Improv Schmimprov shows, please visit ImprovSchmimprov.com. And now, this show must go. So on with the show.
The following program contains scenes and language of a frank and explicit nature. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hey, 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 what's up, ladies and gentlemen? You are listening to Schmimcast, episode number 7. This is your host, Nick McGee. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a spectacular show in store for you today. Another fantastic, excellent guest here for you today. He's a man with fantastic hair. He's probably taller than each and every one of you. He's funny. He makes all the girls swoon, and probably some of the guys too. He came all the way across the ocean from the British Isles just to make you laugh at Improv Schmimprov every Friday and Saturday night. We have here at the Schmimcast Studios, Mr. AJ Murden.
Hooray!
Yes! Yes! Yay! AJ is here.
Hello, hello, welcome. Thank you for having me, Nick.
Ah, and thank you for bringing your lovely British accent. That's awesome. Good. I was thinking about starting this show with trying to talk a little like that. You know, and welcome to Improv Schmimprov Schmimcast. Just making it totally,
Making me feel at home.
Yes. And I could do a really bad British accent.
Oh, that would make me feel like the way I do every day that I'm in America.
That's so great. Do people come up to you? Hello, AJ. How are you, sir?
Yeah. Basically, I get a lot of things repeated to me. I would say things, and everywhere I go, people turn into parrots.
Oh, man.
Just like, excuse me, could you pass that down? Pass that down? It's like, yes, that is what I said. Yeah.
Thanks.
So yeah, no.
Because you probably have a lot of friends who are performers also.
Yeah.
And comedians and whatnot.
They like to work on their accents.
Yeah. Do you help them? You're like, you need to make it sound a little bit more.
I used to, but I
think you gave up. You're like, these guys don't get it.
Yeah. People like to think that they're just like, they've got it straight away. So now I just humor them and say, oh, that's really funny. That's great. Yeah.
Have you ever seen me do one in a show? Because
I have, yeah. Well, I saw The Hobbit.
You saw... Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that was...
I guess it was kind of a British accent.
A little bit. It was a hint of it, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's typically what I find when I go see shows here and they're doing a British accent. It's either it's spot on. It's very British, or it's the hint of it.
Yes.
So you know, it's kind of just the softest sound, and you know they're still talking American, but they've just softened their vowels.
Yeah,
they're talking a bit like this, you know. But the one they always slip up on is when they say like grass, bath, laugh, task. Uh-huh. As they always say, laugh, bath, grass. You know, because they're still saying the grass, laugh.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of sit there, and after a while, I was like, oh, I could get very judgmental and be like, oh, they're doing it wrong, and they're not speaking the Queen's English, blah, 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 but... Nah, there's no point.
I feel like it's better to do a hint of it than go full on and do it really poorly. That's kind of my theory in that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because I feel like if I really went way too far, unless I'm trying to do something comedic
right.
and just be bad anyway.
The funny thing is as well, like I've been told in England, and I had an agent in England, and he informed me.
An agent in England?
An agent, that's right. They do. They are there. They exist. And he informed me that my accent, if I have one at all, is actually RP, which received pronunciation, which basically means that I have no regional accent in terms of a UK dialect, as it were. So when they like to make fun of me or when they like to mock my accent, some people are like, "Hello, I'm AJ, I'm London," or they go, "Oh, hello, I'm from England, blah, blah, blah." And it's like, well, which am I? Am I posh or am I Cockney? You're just doing... You've done both. Clearly, I'm a mystery and an anomaly.
Well, clearly, but hopefully we will unleash the veil of some of that mystery on our show here today.
Mystery.
We will get to know the real AJ Murden.
Uh-oh. And then no one will want to come see my shows ever again.
Oh, I doubt that. I seriously doubt that. Well, folks, this is Shmimcast. I want to thank everybody who has been listening and following us on Twitter and sending us copious emails and downloading the podcast loyally.
I love what you've been doing with this, by the way, the whole podcast. I have been following loyally.
Cool, man.
I've been listening to every single one. You know, I love Jamie's one about the history of Shmimprov. Mm-hmm. It's great to actually finally know
that's
about the group that you're in.
Because you didn't really know.
I had no clue.
Yeah.
A clue.
See, I'm providing a service for our Shmimprovers.
Very much so.
We get to know each other better, and we get to understand, well, where did this come from?
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Exactly. It's not only helping you, it's also helping us know thyself.
Yes.
Who said that? I don't know.
To thine own self be true, right?
Yeah.
To thine own self know what you are and who you are a part of.
Know yourself.
Yes. I think Polonius said the first one, but the rest I made up.
And I just did a Yoda impression, so clearly we're a range of...
To thine own things be loyal and interested, convey the dark side powers away, and knowledge thou shalt gain.
This sounds like Yoda and Smeagol love.
Precious you have.
Oh, fantastic. All right, folks. Well, we're off to a rollicking start.
Rollicking good start. Huzzah, hurrah.
I'm going to try to throw in as many like English sayings that
isms
I can possibly throw in that,
no,
I think are used, but probably aren't.
Well, no, if you do, we'll weigh up. So then if you use one that we actually do use, you get a point. And if you don't, you get a slap. I don't
Shit.
Know. Well, that one actually falls somewhere in like a Atlanticism, as both American and UK. So
now, if I get 1 point by the end of the show, then I know I did well. Did I get a point at least for that one?
For what?
A rollicking good start?
Yes, actually you did.
Yes!
Whoa.
I win. That was loud.
That was loud. That
Sorry.
Wasn't British at all.
Hang Huzzah! How about that? All right, well, that brings me to our first question, because it's not really a question. I don't... Maybe you can translate it for me.
Okay.
Now, we asked for questions on Facebook before the show, just for this episode. This is the first time we've done this, so we got several questions. This one, I'm going to see if you can answer it. I don't know. This comes from Zachary.
Oh, gosh.
Zachary asks, when you're rot, arsed, and slag slogging, do you come off as queer as a 9-bob note?
I think he said rat arsed. Didn't he?
He wrote it as arsed, A-R-S-E-D, but probably means rat-assed.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how it's pronounced?
Well, yeah, you pronounce it as arse in it, because, you know, like I said, basically the A sound, like in path and laugh, is a longer ah sound than an ah sound. Oh, and I sound so pretentious saying this. So yeah, when it comes to
preach.
So when it's rat-arse, we would say rat-arse. So what did he say? When yours rat-arse?
I don't know if it's real quick. Is it like from a movie? Is this like
one of
Brad Pitt's lines in Snatch?
Guy.
When you're rat-assed and slag-slogging, do you come off as queer as a 9-bob note?
Well, rat-arse means drunk, so I never really get rat-arsed, as it were. I don't know what slag-slogging is. The only thing I can think slag-slogging is, a slag is like what you would kind of say, I guess, a skank?
Oh, okay. That might make sense.
I guess that's how you would translate it. So, like...
When you're drunk...
You hear, like, drunk women...
When you're drunk and skanky.
You slag, like that.
Yeah.
You slag. It just means, like, you hoe, kind of thing, basically. Slag slogging? I don't know when you would slog a slag. That sounds...
Is that when you're, like, slurping?
Slogging?
As a slug?
No. Slogging is, like, if you were slogging away at a piece of work, you were, like, working really hard. Like, oh, I'm just slogging away at this job. I'm...
So, work in the streets.
Slag slogging?
When you're drunk and work in the streets, maybe.
I don't know.
Drunkenly.
So, are you slag slugging queer?
Do you come off as queer as a 9-bob note?
Well, there is no...
What is a 9-bob note?
Well, there is no 9-bob note, because the only pound notes are like 5, 10, 20... 50.
Yeah.
So there
so that's referring to currency.
Yeah. Like, say, how much is that? You can either say £2, £3, £4, or you can say quid, like 2 quid, 5 quid, or you can say a five or a tenner, or as they used to say, but they don't really say anymore, you can say 5 bob, 10 bob, whatever. And that, again, it means pounds. So when he's saying it's queer as a 9-bob note, it's queer because there is no 9-bob note.
Gotcha.
Queer, obviously, like odd, strange, not homosexual.
So when you're drunk and working the streets like a mofo, I'm trying to
Do you feel as odd as a 9-pound note?
I guess.
So I guess the short answer is no.
No.
Zachary, you are tremendous.
You have failed and been smacked down.
It's a very odd question. So
the real Brit here.
Yeah.
Nope, try again, AJ.
Try again,
Zachary.
Oh, I was about to say, fish? There we go, that's my answer.
All right. Well, that was our first question. We're going to ask more as the show goes along here.
Hooray.
But thank you, Zach, for your question.
Yes.
Keep working on that.
Yeah. Keep watching.
He's
the
almost there. He's almost there.
Yeah. Maybe he has been to the country. I don't know. But he needs to get up to date, I think, with maybe a bit more.
Yeah, I think so. He should slag some more slogs, I think.
That's right. He needs to slog away at his lingo and get that down pat, and then it'll be jolly hockey sticks.
Put his wank in the slog.
Oh, gosh. No. Do you know what wank means?
To, like masturbate or something?
Yes. Well,
okay, that's what I thought.
So a wanker is a...
His wanker.
Is a masturbator.
I should have said, should have put his winky in a slog.
Again, I don't know what a slog is.
And then knobbed him five times.
As a noun, I wouldn't know what a slog is. It's like a Star Wars reference again. It's fallen in a slog.
All right, well, let's talk some more about you. We've been schooled now.
Yes.
And we will continue to be schooled. Let me ask you, how did you first hear about Improv Schmimprov?
This is actually quite a good story. I think it's a good story.
Good.
Listeners may disagree and get thoroughly bored, but we'll see. We now know the wondrous beauty and further talent that is Spencer Blair.
Oh, yes.
This
Very
all begins
man.
With Spencer Blair, and I'm glad now that Patrick knows who he is via podcast.
Yes.
This is great. This is all great.
All good stories begin with Spencer Blair.
Yes, they do. So Spencer Blair. So I'm hanging out with my fiancée Naomi at Concordia, and Spencer goes there as well. And he starts telling me that he's going to audition for an improv comedy group called Improv Schmimprov.
Uh-huh.
And he's telling me about it, and the more I hear about it, the more interest I get, and I'm asking questions, and he eventually cottons on to the fact that I want to audition too. So I sort of go online, I send in the information, and I auditioned. So literally the very first time I set foot in the Maverick Theatre and turned up was to audition.
Amazing.
Improv Schmimprov.
Amazing.
And it was also, I also kind of lied on my audition form, I must admit, because it said, what previous improv experience do you have?
Uh-huh.
And again, the completely truthful answer was none. Unless you can say that I've been improvising all my life,
right.
Which technically is true, but, you know, so I just kind of put, you know, I did a couple of shows where I ad-lib lines, and I made that
sound
a bit more, you know, perhaps professional than it really was. And then I just got up and started doing my thing, and
cool.
and then
and you never heard of the Maverick or Improv?
Never heard of the Maverick.
Before.
Never heard of Improv Schmimprov. Never heard of.
So you didn't have no idea what you were getting into, really.
No idea.
And
no idea.
You didn't know that Improv Schmimprov had been around for years and years.
Nope.
And
I mean, I had the feeling that it was professional. Kind of just by looking at the website, you can tell that it's not just like a pokey.
It's just not another group.
Little theater. Yeah. You could, like, I could tell that it wasn't just one of those things. Though I kind of went on a whim. I was very aware that I wasn't just...
You were committing for life.
Yeah. Yeah, when they asked for my blood type, I thought, oh, gosh. No.
You have something in common with Patrick, because he apparently didn't have any improv experience either. This was back when in Live Nude People,
that's
when we were
right.
in college. But
he said, didn't he?
He did
podcast.
Say he, yeah. The one way to get into improv group, just make shit up on your resume.
Seriously? It'll,
yes. No one really checks into that.
I almost feel like maybe like too much experience would hinder you. Because again, carrying on with the story, it was fortunate because both Spencer and I got through to Schmimprov Idol. And I remember that, you know, we drove up together, and I remember saying to him, oh god, like, you know, because you've told me about Improv Schmimprov, won't it be awful if now I get in and you don't? And I was like, this would be the worst case scenario kind of thing.
Didn't Spencer, he auditioned the year before too, I think.
Well, that was my year. That was the year I got in.
Oh, it was. That's
and
right. Because
then
he
that's
just got in
happened.
This year, right?
Yeah, and that's what happened. And then I got in.
That's right.
And then he didn't. And I was I felt so bad. He was, and it was so funny because,
well,
like,
he shouldn't have sucked.
Reason I felt bad was because he's done like comedy sports and all this. And
yeah,
he has
yeah.
improv experience, like right. yin yang. And I just felt like I just basically slapped him in the face with my inexperience.
Look at
even,
me, I'm better than you, Americans.
He even cottoned onto that as well, because in the second night of Schmimprov Idol, when they got up to like plead their case, he did a British accent, which I thought was hysterical because he was basically saying like, "This is the only reason you got in," which I thought was pretty spot on, pretty accurate.
That is pretty funny. And you know, Spencer actually made a really good showing. I remember I saw the first year and I was like, "That guy's good." Like, I was surprised. You just never know who's gonna get voted in, honest with you. And he had a very, very strong showing. I forget. Who else came in that year?
The year that myself, Keel, and Jason Booth.
That's right, Jason
Booth. Spencer Blair was there.
Lindsay Hankelius. She was in that year.
That's right.
But she didn't get in.
She didn't get in that.
No.
See,
but she
the next year, though, both of them.
Exactly. Yeah, see, and that just goes to show you should always come back and try again.
Yes.
Unless you're Ryan Young.
Poor Ryan Young, man.
Oh, gosh.
I love that guy.
Man.
Yes.
You got to admit his like, perseverance. Really
yes.
Have.
He gave up, though. He was like, I'm not... I think he tried 3 years in a row or something like that.
Four.
I feel bad for the guy. Like
he's like a living legend now.
He's been in every Schmimprov Idol, almost, for the last few years, except for this year. And he finally was like, fuck it. I'm done.
There you go.
He's like, it's just...
Wise men say when it gets too much. Screw you. Yeah. So,
but I have to admire his tenacity to put in Star Wars lines into The Hobbit, where he has a great... When he was in The Hobbit, he added, "It's a trap!"
No way.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yes,
I didn't even pick up on that. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
Do you know, there's...
Crystal Calls!
I think they posted it on Improv Schmimprov's Facebook page, that Admiral Snack Bar.
Admirable Snack Bar.
Or like, and it's got his picture on it, and it says, "It's a snack!"
It's a snack.
Which I
that's pretty funny.
But,
check out the Improv Schmimprov Facebook page if you haven't, folks. We post a lot of fun stuff.
They post up fun pictures and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
But apart from Spencer and Lindsay, can't really remember who else.
I was just trying to think. And so it was that year was the year of Booth and you, right?
Booth, me, and Ryan Keel.
That's right, Ryan
Keel. Because I got in the Friday night. Because ordinarily you're supposed to go through two nights.
Yeah, you made it the first night. It was like, boom, okay,
yep.
AJ's in Improv Schmimprov.
Well, myself.
He doesn't have to come back.
Yep, myself. And Jamie Buster both got in first night, you know, because if you can do something first night, why bother, you know, taking it through second night? It's just unprofessional.
Yeah.
No. Why waste time?
Yes.
People want you, put him in.
That's right. So the Schmimprov Idol experience must have been, like, pretty fantastic for you, like,
again?
I assume. It was just easy.
I wouldn't say it was easy.
Was it nerve-wracking?
Yes. I would say I was
myself. Were you just, like, so elated when you got in the first night?
Well, here's the thing. For the whole show, again, you could basically classify that as my first ever outing into the world of improv comedy. That was it. That was
literally
thrown in at the deep end. So my thought process... excuse me. I'm coming down with a cold.
Oh, man.
My thought process was basically just have fun. I honestly did not expect to get in. I honestly didn't. And some people say that as, like, modesty and, like, oh, no, you probably thought you would get in. No. I looked at, like, Ryan Keel and Spencer and Jason and a couple of other guys, and I was just like, nah, these guys. These guys are the bomb. They're getting him.
But they didn't have the accent, clearly.
They didn't have the accent.
They did not have the accent.
And, you know, that's kind of like a cheap gift. That was such a, like, I was born with it, and I wasn't born with it, but, you know, I grew up, and it's just one of those things that you can't control, but, you know.
Honestly, I don't think it's just the accent. I mean, you're talented, very funny, and you're very charming and personable on stage, you know? You're like someone, I think the audience goes in there, and they're like, oh, I would like to meet and talk to that person. Like, he just seems, like, very approachable, you know?
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah, whereas they see me, and they're like, what the hell is
that? I remember.
It's like a bear. I don't want to... he's all hairy.
I think those guys like you, I love to see on stage because, like, on stage rather than in my house. Now, because I remember one
Stay
time
the
you
fuck
walked
away from my house.
You walked on stage one time and you like epitomized hobo. You had, like, this hat, baggy clothes, and you just sauntered on stage halfway through a show, and I just looked over and I was like, you let the homeless guy. So funny. It was great.
That's
it was hysterical.
Hilarious.
But yeah,
that's
I always
funny.
Do like enjoy
it's
it
like
when
they
you're...
let homeless people do improv here.
Seriously.
That's so charitable.
And then you've done other shows where you're dressed as a zombie as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I can't do things like that because I think people expect me to be too clean cut or too.
That's true. Well, you have that persona.
Yeah, and it just
but you never know.
It jars if, like, I'm too Ryan Clarke-y or something. People are just like, oh, that's just awkward.
Too much like a slag slog.
Oh, I do want to be a slag slog. Those slags have had enough slogging for the last lifetime.
I think Ryan Clarke has too, but
that's it. Well, he is a slag.
Yes, indeed. So you're a performer.
Correct.
So where did you get your start in performance? Did it go all the way back to when you were doing childhood shows?
No. It's funny because you can look, I have one brother, and he is now like this computer scientist at university, and you can look at old home videos of me and my brother, and he's in the background playing a little handheld computer game, and I'm in front of the camera talking to the camera and performing. Even then you can see the seeds were sown, but really the acting bug wasn't caught for me until I was about 15. And I was in a production of Guys and Dolls at high school. And every
time... That's so funny. So they're doing Guys and Dolls in England?
Oh,
here?
Yeah. Oh, okay. We do all kinds of... Like,
that's
we did,
so
they did
funny.
That, in Greece, amazing. You know, all kinds of things.
Oh, my God. So it's like, go Greece Lightning! Like, when Why? You see a gal! Like, is it like that? Or like...
Yeah, man, because, you know, when you do...
I would love to see that in with the accents.
When you
that
do Jane Austen here, everyone's just like, what up, Jane? Emma, how you doing?
Oh,
yeah, yeah,
and
just, it turns out, no.
I'm sure Brits come over here to see us do Shakespeare.
Oh, yeah. No, we do the American accent.
To be or not to be, that be the question.
That'd be wonderful. I'd love to see a redneck.
Redneck Shakespeare.
To be or not to be.
I think we've just...
That is the question.
Did you play a big part in the show or were you like...
No. I was... 5 different parts, basically, because every time they were like, oh, we need someone to be such and such, I went, me. So I ended up being a gambler, a sailor, a waiter. There was 3 different waiters. There was waiter at Mindy's, waiter at the Hot Box, and waiter at Havana.
That's right.
The Havana one was extremely gay. Like, the way he stood, what he dressed, what he wore, it was horrendous. But yeah, no, I just, and that was it. Like, from then on, I was just like, nope, this is what I want to do. This is insane. I love it. And and every chance I got to make people laugh, I loved it. And from then, like I said, my direction was musical theatre. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to do musical theatre, and I wanted to learn how to sing and somewhat dance. So then
somewhat dance.
I can still only somewhat dance.
I'm with you.
I'm unaware of how long and gangly my arms are still,
right.
So they can kind of flail a little bit still. But then I went to university and I did like performing arts degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was very fortunate and I even went to a drama school in London, the Central School of Speech and Drama, and I got a master's degree in musical theatre.
Wow.
So my...
I don't see you as that old. How old are you?
I'm 26.
You're 26?
I just turned 26 on the 26th of April.
You have good, like, genes or something, I guess.
No, my dad, it's crazy, but my dad, he's like... in his early 60s, but people peg him at about his 40s.
Like he's like 15, right?
No, I do. I have good genes, except for these ones. These ones have holes.
There's a hole.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't think many people know, especially at the Maverick, that my background is musical theatre. And I would peg myself firstly as an actor-singer, then an improv comedian. So
cool.
It's just funny how things kind of go.
Let me ask another question that came from the Facebook.
Ooh. The Facebook.
See, it's kind of related to all this. This is from Gretchen.
She asks,
what made you decide to come to the U.S.? Because that obviously had to be a big decision.
That was a big decision.
Assume.
And it's funny as well because basically my family and I, we'd always sort of travel to America almost every year
as
family vacations. So we've been to Florida, New York, San Francisco, all that kind of stuff. It was great. And every time we went, I loved America. I always felt more at home, freer to be myself and more able to express. And blah, blah, blah. And then I even worked for a couple of summers at a summer camp in New Jersey. So any excuse and any opportunity to go work and live in America, I was there.
Wait a second. You worked in New Jersey and you wanted to come back?
New Jersey gets a bad rep, man. But
clearly, Snooki wasn't part of this.
It's Snooki, not Snooki. Why do you add an H?
Snooki?
Snooki, yeah.
Snooki, because everything has
Snooki is like a Jewish expression for getting cozy, isn't it?
Could be.
Hey, I'm going to get all Snooki with you in bed tonight. Hey, I don't know. Maybe.
We schlept. Don't
schlep
with Snooki.
Schlag. That's right. Don't sleep with the schlags.
You'll get bob knobs on your knob.
You'll get an STD.
An STD.
STD. Good grief. All right.
All right. So anyway, you did summer camp.
I did all that. And so basically, yeah. And everywhere I went, even in London, England, I always met and made friends with Americans. It wasn't intentional. I didn't seek them out. It just always happened. And it was just like British people and I, you know, it was like acquaintances. We got on, but we weren't the best of friends. I do obviously have some very good friends who are British, but for some reason, Americans and I
just get along better.
Yeah. And so basically, long story short, I was in Edinburgh because in Edinburgh, Scotland, they have once a year, they have the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. An enormous drama festival where comedians who go on to do big things, for example, like Russell Brand, things like that, cut the cloth, as it were, in the comedy circuit or the acting circuit, directing, whatever you like. And there's literally hundreds, possibly thousands of shows going on all at the same time and all in the city of Edinburgh. So it's really great, fantastic.
That sounds awesome.
It was a fantastic opportunity for me as well. And I was doing this relatively serious show about a Jewish man during World War II. So you can imagine it was fairly serious, but it wasn't like Schindler's List serious. But at the same time, there was an American theater group there doing a musical called Children of Eden. And my now fiance, Naomi, was in that very show.
Ah.
And so we just, we met going to see another show. And just kind of started chatting, hit it off. And then we met up again with a couple of other friends. Funnily enough, one of the people in that group of friends was a girl called Jenny Swoosh, who is now going to be appearing in Chicago at the Maverick Theater.
Oh, cool.
Isn't it weird?
Chicago coming to the Maverick Theater starting May 27th, playing through July 30th.
Wow, that's...
Plug.
I was going to say. That sounded very automatic. Like, press the button. Chicago plug. Go. Activate.
We're the unpaid sponsors of the Maverick Theater also.
We are. The unpaid everything of the Maverick Theater.
Oh, yes. I forgot to
mention that. So, yeah. And so, yeah, scratching. Long story short, I met a girl, Naomi. And when I eventually decided, it was 2 years. We were doing long-distance relationship for two freaking years.
My God.
It was insane.
That must be true love if you survive that test.
Seriously, I look back now and I don't know how I did it. Like, now I see Naomi every day, and it's great. So now I look back, and I'm just like, I don't know how I did that.
Yeah.
But I had a great group of friends in London, and...
And you had them keep your eye on her?
Yeah. Yeah, precisely. But the funny thing is, I wasn't doing anything that really sort of spurred inspiration or creativity. I was working at a call center, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It was soul-destroying.
Hey, you don't have to tell me about that kind of...
Good God. So, yeah. So then, when I was prompted to finally move to America, I'd finally found a really good base of friends in London.
Yeah.
As I was like, oh, this sucks. You know when you feel like this must be the right decision because all of a sudden it's so hard?
Yes.
And it's not just something where I'm like, oh, I'll just do this because it's easy.
Yeah,
and
you
think, oh, maybe I'm just doing it because it's easy.
Right.
It was so difficult that I thought, well, I guess this must be the right... And then, you know, it was like only then a few weeks in that I auditioned for Improv and got in and I got offered a couple of theatre gigs and whatnot. And I was like, what? You know, all of a sudden I take that step and doors, phew, open.
Yeah. Life is all about decisions, right?
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah. And the opportunities that follow just made me think, yeah, that was the right decision.
And now your lady is here. So
now my lady is here. We got engaged a year
Congratulations.
After I moved. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
we got
awesome.
Engaged a year after I moved out. And we are to be wed on October 22nd of this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man.
I know, right?
Oh, sweet. So everybody who listens to Schmimcast is obviously invited.
Yep. All you have to do is remember the code word. Oh, Nick, why did you edit it out?
I did. The code word's Twizzlers, right?
Yeah, there you go. The code word
is
Twizzlers.
AJ brought me Twizzlers, and I have to thank you for that. Because
that's all right.
How did you know I like Twizzlers?
You do?
I do.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? Because you know what? I posted it on my Facebook page or on Twitter or something that I liked Twizzlers and that I was... There was one day... Oh, it was after the Concordia University show.
Oh, yeah.
We did a free show for Concordia University a few weeks ago, and I went to the Albertsons or something that's right by there. First of all, I got a free bag of potato chips there. There was just some lady, and she was like, here, have free potato chips. I was like, oh, really? It's free?
I want to... shotgun just taking three bags of potato chips.
The bag had been opened and was half eaten and was covered with a sort of a slime. But I took them anyway. And they were all
right. Beggars can't be choosers, right?
That's right. Yeah, and I bought some Twizzlers and some other junk because I was hungry. And then after that epic, epic performance at Concordia University, of which I hosted, and then I think I think the man Spencer Blair and the woman Jamie Buster and the man Drew Boudreau.
The woman.
And
the woman Jamie Buster, the man Drew Boudreau, and Spencer. Somewhere in between.
You know, honestly, it was the first like three-player improv schmimprov show I think I think that's ever been done. I could be wrong.
No, there's been one before.
Has there really?
Where, like,
it's like an outside show?
No, it was at the Maverick.
Really?
And, like, bunch of people dropped out, couldn't find people to replace them.
Oh my god.
I think Ryan Clark was involved as well. But,
and you were in it?
I don't think Ryan Clark was involved with the people not turning up. I don't want to accuse him of something suspicious, but I think I was in it as well. Or Ryan Clark told me about it. I can't remember, but yeah. I think Ryan Clark told me about it. I think it was Ryan Clark, Jason Booth, and someone else, and he said that they just played against themselves. Sound ridiculous.
That's awesome. But yeah, improvers. We're improvers. We just go with the flow, you know?
Precisely.
Three people, two people, whatever. We still do.
Yeah.
We can do a show. I bet we could do a one-man show if we really needed to. Or a zero-man show.
Well, I think the best
but with five
one-man game I've seen was Ryan Keel doing different moments in history, trying to assassinate someone or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And it just demonstrated Ryan Keel's lack of knowledge of history. He had no clue. It literally, from the first sentence, I think it was Nate or Jamie hosting, they said, like, all right, this is first one's in modern times, all right, you're just in, like, today. First line out of Ryan Keel's mouth, where's that Abraham Lincoln?
Oh, jeez.
It's like, did he even hear what he said? And then he's in the 1920s, but he has all kinds of manner of modern gizmos and gadgets. Oh my gosh. It was so funny.
We are resourceful people. We may not be incredibly smart. Not all of us, maybe.
No.
It's a variety of folks at Improv from Improv, you know?
Yeah,
we have some very learned people, you know, like say, Drew Boudreau and
Nate
Jason
McCurick,
Booth.
Yeah.
Nate. Like,
I can't keep up with them. I honestly can't keep up with them. And it's so funny because, again, the other stereotype with my accent is that people assume that I'm very learned,
like hyper intelligent,
or it just kind of sounds that way. So when I play like a game with either Drew or Jason or Nate, and they're just like, oh no, that you say about political this and that and history this and that, I'm just like, sure, all right, I'll believe you. Okay.
You've done both March Madnesses since you joined the group?
Yes, I've done two March Madnesses.
Which was your first one?
My first one
was your partner?
Sebastian Clark.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
It was horrendous.
That's funny. Now, I should note that last episode, which was when I talked with Ryan Clark, Ryan's known Sebastian for many years.
That's right.
So we talked quite a bit about Sebastian.
I love Sebastian, but it was so...
What did you guys do for your intro?
Well, here's the thing, because Sebastian is very seldom seen at all by anyone,
especially now,
right? So, because he's like based in Seattle,
yes,
I think. So he came down specifically to do March Madness. So,
are you serious? He was in Seattle
by the great inspiration of Jamie Scheel. We decided that the intro we would do was that we meet for the very first time on stage, and that people get to witness that first meeting. I got screwed. Because you know how they always say, in the color of blah, blah, blah. He convinced me we should pick a color and go in as that color. So I was like, great, that sounds like a good idea. I love it, kind of thing. It adds to that. So I was like, let's say the color of Avatar, and we'll be like in 3D, ha, and it's funny. So I go all out. I like dye myself blue all over.
Oh my God.
I walk on stage, turn around, it's Sebastian. He's not blue. That dick. I was like,
so Jamie did this to you?
This was, well, Jamie suggested it, and then Sebastian, I think, wanted to mess with me. But then I think he felt bad because then he went backstage and he dyed himself as well.
Wait a minute.
Googled him.
I need to be blue too. Give me 5 minutes.
Oh, he's so
funny.
I'll
be right back.
The funny thing was, Sebastian's humor is very selective. He's like a fine wine, I guess. You have to have a very specific taste to get Sebastian's humor. It's almost like if The Office were an improv comedy show, it would be Sebastian Clark, because he embellishes those awkward silences, those really awful moments where you're like, you've said something and then you feel bad. Like, if it were a recorded TV show like The Office, it'd be great. It'd be hilarious because you'd be, like, laughing at him. But when it's a live show and it's improv, you think he's falling or you think he's crashing and burning because it doesn't quite register. But, like, for me, I could tell, I could see what he was doing, and I'm sure other, like, and Drew Boudreau was cracking up as well, and he could see, because, like, at one point, and he fully knew what he was doing, he's playing toppers with Ryan Clark, but he's not dopping him at all. I should never forget this. He goes, well, if you... I can't even remember what the word was, but it's like, you know when you say, if you look up such a word in the dictionary, you'll find me there. He said, if you look up that word in the dictionary, you won't find my picture there. Because I walked out of that dictionary, and here I am.
Oh, my God.
And that was it. I was like...
That's so a spot on Sebastian, by the way.
Oh, well done. It's funny, because I don't even know him that well. But now...
It's burned in your memory.
Yeah,
though,
it is. People really need... you should sponsor Sebastian Clark for his tour bus thing that he's got going on. I almost feel like an affinity now with Sebastian Clark, ever since being teamed up with him my first March Madness show. Now I'm...
He's the U.S. version of you.
Let's not go crazy. But
speaking about hobos and then improv, well, from improv.
And then it's funny because and then this year I was teamed up with Justin Kupanoff. And again, yes. I like talking to people afterwards and they were like, oh, who are you teamed up with? Justin. Who?
Aww.
It was so funny. First of all, it was Sebastian. Everyone was like, who's Sebastian? So it was Justin. And that's why I made this intro. It was just like...
Funny intro. I mean, just to really briefly summarize it, it's something about, like, basically the forgotten Schmimprover or the lost Schmimprover.
It goes into
therapy.
That's right. A self-help group called Anonymous is Anonymous. And then we just basically try and get him to realize that people do recognize him. And it's great because I feel like I've started a running gag as well, because now anytime Justin is mentioned on Improv from Improv Facebook, you get people saying, who's Justin?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's wonderful. I feel a sense of accomplishment. Even though I didn't win March Madness, I've created something that could potentially be a long-running gag. So.
Indeed.
Hurrah!
You were like you were sort of the introspective host of that particular video.
That's right.
And
yeah.
I have to say, you make a good host in that perspective. Like, I really like seeing you being the Maury Povich or whatever you like.
Yeah, just kind of...
Dr. Phil...
Soft-spoken, yeah.
Let's do an investigative report
here. We're going to
Anonymous
really
is Anonymous.
Help Justin through his struggles.
That was well done, man. Well, hopefully we can get that on YouTube someday.
Hopefully, yeah. We'll go slag slog Nate in the face.
Yeah. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe the space and time continuum are out of joint. We need Doc Brown.
Oh, AJ, yes.
We've got to take you back.
Where? Back to the future.
Your dad's an asshole.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Just kidding. Phenomenal movie, man. What are your favorite movies? You have any particular movies?
I do. One of my favorite movies of all time, actually, is like Nightmare Before Christmas. I love...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tim Burton, Danny Elfman is my...
Yeah.
What is it? Bread and butter? Yeah. I've always wanted to put on a stage production of Nightmare Before Christmas, and I have it all mapped out, the staging, the lighting, the costumes, the characters, even some of the score as well. I have, like,
that would be so trippy.
I have that.
I wonder if you have to do with puppets or like
some of it, like, with, yeah, the, especially the scene there, like the Oogie Boogie scene, and using what they called a dark light, you know, so everything glows, kind of that phosphorescent sort of color. And then, you know, and I have like, and Halloween Town would be one side, and then you flip it over and it's Christmas Town and stuff like that. So, and just the way the lighting makes it gray and dark and all this, that, and I obviously, looking the way I do, I've always wanted to be Jack Skellington and songs and all this. So that's one of my favorite movies. And I, you know, and I love things like American Beauty and things like that. So it ranges from really stupid movies as well.
That's all right. I have really dumb movies that I grew up with that, like, no, everyone would be like, what? How many times did you watch Police Academy 4 when you were 10 years old? I watched it like 100 times.
Yeah.
Bobcat Goldthwait. Like,
I honestly feel, you know, well, what you grew up watching is what your comedy style is now, because that's what you think, well, that's funny, so I'm going to imitate that. So, like, the comedy films I tend to imitate, I love, you know, Jim Carrey.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I grew up looking like him, so...
Yeah.
That kind of
weird.
Worked out.
It's like I'm talking to a British Jim Carrey right now.
I get people stop me in like Starbucks just to tell me I look like Jim Carrey.
Oh, I bet.
It can get freaky. And then I talk to them,
and then you talk British, and
wait,
they're like,
you're British.
"Are you Jim Carrey doing an accent?"
Yeah. No, it's. I got like one guy at Panda Express Eve, and it was so funny. And this isn't even being a racist impression. This is exactly how he sounded. He's like, "Hey, hey, you know what you look like? You look like Jim Carrey. Not old Jim Carrey, no. Young Jim Carrey. Why are you still the light in mask?" And then I got my food and I went, and I was going
"You want egg roll? You want wonton?
Right.
Cream cheese rangoon?"
And then I went to leave and he goes, "Hey, you're not offended, right? You come back."
And now we've offended him.
Oh, man. Circle of life.
The circle of offense.
That's right. It'll come back to get you.
Full circle. Yeah, man, I'm bad about that. I make comments. It's like I have no filter sometimes, and I, you know, I end up just shooting myself in the foot. Like, for instance, I was at this event, and this lady was like, "Oh, do you know anybody who wants a shih tzu?" And I was like, "I know some Korean guys probably be interested."
And
this chick goes, that's in the circle, she's like, "I'm Korean." I was like, oh crap. Honky power.
Oh gosh.
But they had been told that I was an improv person and do comedy, so I probably offended the fuck out of them.
I'm glad though that you did that.
As well as our audience right now. But
you did that knowingly, which was good.
Yes.
I tend to embarrass myself subconsciously. I was out with dinner with a few friends, and we were celebrating, and it was another, again, it was an Asian girl. I think she's Korean. Here's the worst thing we did. You raise glasses and you tap them together.
Okay, doing a salute.
I was too far away from anyone to tap the glass. So I was like, I'll just make the noise, you know, clink.
Yeah.
So I raised it and I went, chink. Oh no.
Oh my god.
And I froze. And everyone just carries on. And I was like, gingerly just took a sip. And I was like, all right. I don't think anyone noticed.
That's so funny. But in your head, you're like, oh.
I feel about 2 feet
That's kind of how I felt.
But it just came out. I was like, we go. That's out there now. I can't take it back.
It's just a gut reaction.
There's a little racist inside of us just itching to get out.
Yeah. That's the little schmimprover inside of us going like, yeah, this will probably get a laugh in front of an audience.
Oh, no.
It doesn't work in real life sometimes. Yeah.
Well, sometimes, I mean, with what my racist grandpa thinks about that. Perfect opportunity. That's why I love that game, because it's a great opportunity to say things that make people go, oh, but you're like, yeah, it's not me, it's my grandpa.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a one-liner game that we play,
that's
right?
That's right, and then you back off afterwards and just say, it's not me, it's what my grandpa thinks.
Yes. Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. For jokes not funny, bang, bang.
Yes.
And then suddenly it is.
Which I used last night.
That's right. Well, good effect. And Nate did as well, so.
Yes. So right. It has at least done twice during the one-liners, I think.
Schmimcast.
Have you done any of the outside Schmimprov shows? You did a Concordia show.
Yes. I wasn't at the most recent Night of Hope at Concordia, but I was at the first one.
I heard that went really well, too.
It did. It went so well.
It's awesome.
We did a game.
And you did it also in the outside amphitheater.
In the amphitheater,
same thing.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I like that little place.
And, like, it went so well. There were even instances we were playing back in my day, and I came up, and all I did was I said, back in my day, and this girl on the front, she just started cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I said. So everyone laughs at the fact that she's laughing.
Right,
so I tried again. Back in my day. Again, she cracks up. Everyone laughs at her, and I just, well, apparently that's all she needs, and I just walked off, and that was it. And we played a great game.
All women were only so easy to please. Right. Let me tell you.
That'd be great. Played a great game with Ryan Keel as well, called Anatomy? Nah. It was based on the initials AN, and basically it was a wonderful game because we were two students and we went from class to class learning about different things. So Jamie got a list of subjects that you would learn. First of all, we start in anatomy, and then we're like, nah, we don't want to learn anatomy. We run to the next class and Jamie goes, this class is spelunking, and we like burst into the class. Oh, I knocked the microphone. And
it's those long arms.
Yeah.
Watch out.
And we did that, but oh my gosh, one of the funniest out of Maverick Theatre shows that I've done was with Ryan Clark, Darnish Leland, and Miles.
Oh wow, Leland, rare.
Yeah, Leland, Leland and Stitch. And we okay, to set it up, Drew Boudreaux got us this gig at a library.
Now, where are you thinking?
A library,
like,
improv,
a library,
show.
Yeah. But fantastic. He's like, and the way he sets it up is the kids will be doing something, and they wanted like a show for the parents to keep them entertained while the kids are off doing something else.
We're yeah.
Like, oh, okay. So he's like, you know, PG-13, you can push the envelope, but don't shred it, kind of thing. And all right. So we get into this room, and it's like it's decked out with things on the walls, like rainbows and unicorns and butterflies. And we're like, this is weird.
Is it like a preschool library or
no,
something?
No, it was... But like, it was the kids section of the library.
Okay.
So we're like, right. But... Or, you know, we were kind of thinking, well, you know, well, the kids were going to do something and then we were going to entertain the parents. All right, so, you know, it should be okay. First person that walks in must be like 3 feet tall.
No.
Yeah, it's a kid.
Oh, what?
And then kid, parent.
Oh my god.
Kid, the youngest kid there, I think, must have been about 5.
We're just like, we're in the wrong library.
Oh, jeez.
Drew messed
the
up.
The guy, man, we had words. But it was so, okay. But the funny thing is, it wasn't like funny in what we did. It was just funny for us.
I'm sure.
Because all of a sudden, we're taking suggestions like, where are you? And like, my room. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What are they? And Miles is like, okay, so now we need, and bless him, Miles was a great host. It was so funny. And he's like, all right, so now, you know, and he's like a children's host.
Oh my God.
Now we need, what are they trying to do? So, for example, they might be trying to fix a car. So, what are they trying to do? Kid raises his hand. Yes.
They're trying to fix a car.
Who says imagination's dead, Nick? It was so funny. I was just like,
well, you guys.
And with that,
I was like, why the hell?
And Ryan Clark and Darnish were in the show, and I could see Ryan Clark. Just like,
I'm corrupting the youth of America.
He can't be himself. He has to, like, restrain himself from being himself. I was dying.
At least they're not a judgmental audience. Maybe the parents are, but the kids probably aren't too judgmental. Did they like it?
Yeah, and it was funny because there was
it just
scattered.
Sounds
there
really
was,
cute.
There was, like, 10 of them.
10 kids?
You know, kids and adults. And then sometimes we'd say jokes that only the adults got.
Right.
Like, we just alluded to something and they laughed. And
it's like a Pixar movie.
And all you had to do... Yeah, exactly. All you had to do to make the kids laugh is, like, fall over.
Oh, okay. They loved it. Yeah.
Just go... Like, you know...
Insane physical comedy
it was, like, world's worst cow.
Right.
Or something. And I just went up and I went, meow. And that was apparently hysterical.
That's gold for a 3-year-old.
For the adults, they were like... And the kids are like, bah, it's a cow that says meow.
The whole thing is like bends my mind that happened. It's funny. It's a great story.
Afterwards, we just found the whole thing hysterical.
Oh, I'm sure.
It was like Darnish got annoyed with Ryan Clark at one point because he couldn't guess the Santa's lap suggestion. I was worried at one point because like Darnish got so annoyed that he like grabbed Ryan Clark by the hair and like pulled him up and like showed him something on the wall. And I was like, kids watching, kids imitate.
Oh yeah, seriously, they start pulling each other's hair.
So I was like, oh, don't want a lawsuit on our hands.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna sue.
Darnish was like, what is that? And I was like, oh my gosh. But no, it turned out to be a pretty funny
That's
show.
Fun. Yeah, yeah. It's shows like that you always end up with stories at least afterwards.
Gosh, yeah.
It's like, wow, man. You were part of our Let's Help Japan show. You were one of the players, so let's talk about that. If you didn't listen to our last podcast, Improv Shmimprov did a charity event show for Architecture for Humanity, which helps countries such as Japan rebuild their homes after natural disasters and tragedies like that. So we raised over $1,200, I think, that night, which is a very successful event.
Yeah, right.
We talked about Ryan Clark's unfortunate trigger, which was to be shot with a paintball gun.
The paintball gun.
But you also had a trigger that night. Which,
I did.
Let's talk about that.
Well, basically, because like I had the idea to Americanize AJ because I couldn't think of anything else. Basically, and that's
a great
idea. Like my idea was to give me a beer and then dress me in American clothing and then make me take the Pledge of Allegiance kind of thing. but then Jamie was just like, no, let's make it a little more intense. Like, let's draw on you in Sharpie and draw the American flag on you kind of thing.
Let's humiliate So as we raised more money, I believe an American flag got painted on your chest. Is that correct?
That's right. It got drawn on my chest in Sharpie, stripe by stripe. And
you don't seem happy about this.
Well, okay. Let me.
Was there a residual effect after the show? Was it like really difficult?
No, it wasn't.
There's still remnants on your chest.
Let me explain why I'm a little bit like
pissed off,
solemn about this. Because, like I said earlier, like with the whole dyeing myself blue and then Sebastian didn't do it.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
Ever since then, I've always been on my guard about things that happen that I'm not aware of. You know? Or they try to screw me over and do something that they think is hilarious, but I'm not in on it. Mm-hmm. Whereas if they just like tell me what they're going to do, I'd probably be like, oh, okay, whatever, fine. So their thing was that they were then going to, when they reached 1,000 marks, they were going to draw an American flag, he says in quotation marks, on my forehead. Ryan Clark gets a Sharpie and they're like, insist that it has to be Ryan Clark, which is suspicious already.
Oh, no.
And he proceeds to draw, like, what I can feel it, obviously, because on my forehead, a circle. So my instant reaction is to pull away because I know exactly what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
And, like, your instincts kick in when you know someone is drawing a dick on your forehead. I mean, what else are you going to do? So now, two things I'm aware of. They've planned this without my knowing.
Right, right.
And also, I have no idea how well Sharpie will come off.
Yes, so yes. You're so like, I don't want to be walking around.
So literally, in that moment, instinct took over and I refused. And like, Nate was holding my head. And,
oh my God.
And Ryan was like, no, hold still, no. He's like, don't hate America kind of thing. And then I was like, go on then, draw a flag. And he draws another circle. So again, I pull away.
Right, right.
I was like, no. And like, I take another Sharpie and I give it to Jamie Buster.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like looking at her with intent.
Yes. Yeah, like, you're like,
draw a flag.
Yes.
And then thankfully, Jamie Buster kind of came to my rescue. And
it's nice when you have some people you can trust on the team, right?
Yeah. Well, thankfully, like, I've known Jamie Buster a long time. We've done a couple of shows in the past together and I felt like I could trust her. And looking back, and the Sharpie came up very easily.
But they did draw one in your chest, though.
They did draw one on my chest. Yeah, it was an American flag on my chest. But the Sharpie came off and I felt maybe I probably overreacted. But it was,
no,
in that moment,
it's okay.
In that moment, I was just like, no. This isn't happening. I'm not going to let it. Not again, kind of thing. And screw you guys. I don't care.
It's so funny. I mean, it's not funny for you, really. But
well,
I had no idea that's what happened. I was there, even, and I didn't have any clue.
Oh.
It seemed like there was some business going on stage at various points that they were sort of confusing, and I wasn't really sure. It was a little...
Yeah.
It was an interesting show, you know, overall.
It was probably the most chaotic
show. It was chaotic. But the best part was probably Jamie Shield, the man, throwing up after drinking like 10 Mountain Dew Code Reds and vomiting red.
Preface that as the best part of the show. Like, this is the best thing.
The best thing that come
Jamie
out of the
vomiting.
Yes, Jamie vomiting.
Wow.
I think it was just the fact that it kind of had a buildup. Like, I mean, we presumed something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And when it happened, it was so violent and so kind of unexpected and shocking. Like, I guess I was like, oh, yeah, someone might vomit. Like, there was some stuff going on. Like, Enrique was...
Well, Enrique did
Enrique
vomit,
was eating lemons, but he vomited off stage.
Yeah.
When it happened, it was just so violent and massive, and it just went on for so long. He just was standing there and like the reaction from the audience was huge. I mean, it was gross, but it had that shock factor that
I guess if it's someone I don't know or I don't like, I think it's hilarious. But bless him, like Jamie Shield, I couldn't help but in that moment just feel sorry for him.
I mean, there couldn't have been any other effect to let me drink a Mountain Dew Code Red after every game and chug it. So
it was his own bloody fault. I know.
For sure. It's kind of like watching Jackass, I would
say. Watching Jackass. And I do find Jackass funny, again, like, you know, in some instances. But for some reason, in that moment, I was just like, oh no. You know what? He did it to himself, so what an idiot.
Schmimcast. Have you done any shows recently, or are you going to do any shows this year?
I haven't been performing in shows.
You've fully committed to Improv Schmimprov.
Yeah, fully committed to Improv Schmimprov.
You even come and videotape. Like, last night you came and videotaped the show for our webpage YouTube.
That's right, and I'll be hosting a couple of nights.
Oh, good for you, man.
Yeah.
And you've hosted how many times? Just once or twice?
Okay. Unless you count Schmimprovathon.
That's credit. That's like...
All right, then three times.
All right, three times.
Because the first Schmimprovathon I did, second Schmimprovathon I did, and I've hosted an actual night as well.
Awesome.
And now I'm going to be
enjoy the
hosting?
I do, actually, yeah, and I'm getting more confident with it as well,
yeah.
That's good. You know, I feel like when you're actually just doing the improv thing, you're one persona, and then you have to be a different persona when you're hosting.
That's true, yeah.
So I do enjoy it, and I think that I tend to be very much, like, in my head or kind of, like, second-guessing what I'm saying, but when I hosted, I did kind of loosen up, and I thought it went
pretty well,
but then afterwards, I couldn't remember a thing. I don't know what I said, whatever happened.
You just kind of have to go and do it. I mean, it's just like, you got to keep the pace going, and, like,
I
know the feeling of, like, after a show, just being like, what the hell just happened? Like, when it goes by so fast.
Oh,
like,
it does.
The difference between being a player and being a host is when you're a player, you have a lot of downtime. You're kind of supposed to be participating and watching what's going on, but at the same time, when you're a host, you just have to be on the entire time.
Seriously.
And be paying attention, like, super, like,
I
aware
believe
of what's
it.
Going
when
on.
It, when I came up and had to say, you know, we're drawing to the end of our show, I was like, that can't be true.
Yeah.
We've seriously only been up here for, like, what felt like 20 minutes.
I know, and, like, it's a lot of times it's like an hour and a half or something has already passed by.
But like you say, you have to be on all the time, and I was trying to make sure as well that I had stuff to reference back to as well, like, so whatever this team did, and so I was writing down the funny stuff that they did. And but it was funny in a way because as well I kind of hosted a special night, as it were, because it was the Boys v Girls, so there was already like something interesting to work with anyway.
That's true. That
so
gives
that
you at least
helped.
A little bit. Yeah.
It wasn't just like a regular night.
I
have to make it up all by myself kind of thing. So.
Well, that's improv for you, whether it's hosting and being on stage as a player, you know.
No, but I did enjoy it. It was good fun.
Are you helping out with the sketch night at all? I heard you might be involved with that.
Yeah, I am. I've written a couple of sketches, and I'm working with Dave Chorley and Ryan Clark and Darnish, and meeting up with them later, actually.
We haven't quite set a date yet for that, right?
No, it's up in the air later.
All right, so look forward to that, though. Come see our sketch night.
It'll be sometime, probably June, actually. It will be definitely June. It still doesn't have a name. If people have suggestions for names, please, like, put them on the Facebook page or something.
Improv,
like.
Schmimprov Sketch Night?
See, that's the typical. And, like, Ryan Clark wanted, like, call it Improv Sketch Comedy Night, Schmimprov Schmetsch Comedy Schmite. So please give us suggestions and names.
Yeah, we need a better name than that.
Cursed with that name. Schmimcast!
Do you bring in a clip? I forgot
that's
about this.
That's right.
We got a little clip we're going to play for you folks of a special improv game that AJ was part of.
This is the improv idol that I was in.
Oh, snap.
The only improv idol night that I was in, because I wasn't in two, because I got in the first night.
So this is back from your very beginning. Your first improv show ever.
Yes, this is my first improv show ever.
What were you playing?
This is Cheers.
Oh, okay, so you're playing Cheers. So this is an opening game.
This is the opening game. So this was literally the first thing out of my mouth. The first joke
ever told
on the Maverick stage by me. This is it. Like, I either get the audience now or I crash and burn. And now coming up right now is Jason Booth.
Okay.
Who obviously, he won This was his first show as well. At this point, what I was thinking of doing was being a Ghanaian person. Because the person we're cheersing is a girl called Shaylen who's going to Ghana.
Okay.
And so I thought, I'm going to be someone from Ghana who's going to welcome Shaylen. That'll be really funny.
You're right. And the way we play Cheers, we get an audience member, right?
That's right.
And we'd ask them questions about themselves and whatnot. And then we do sort of a salute to them.
And then we toast them, yeah.
Right. Okay.
So this is Jason, bearing in mind the idea that I just had.
Hey, Shaylen! My name is Shapuqua! I am your host mother for the house you're gonna be staying at! Don't you know? I have a 17 sons who need a woman that does not have dads, Shaylen.
I got a groaner.
Good luck.
So, as you heard, Jason basically took my idea, my mind.
That happens. In improv. You're in a line, you have to wait till your turn. Sometimes you'll have a brilliant idea. The person right before you, in this case, right?
Yeah.
Takes your idea.
Yeah. Well, there were, he was the second person, and then there was like,
okay,
like
so you
three,
had a little,
there was
a little time to,
yeah, there recoup. Was three people,
but so it's not much time any either no. way. Like, and sometimes it is literally the person before you. It's literally, and you're yeah. like, oop, gotta come up with something else.
That happened again, like in a Game-O-Matic we were playing, and I had an idea, and then someone said one of the words, mm-hmm. and I was like, well, I can't use that. And then I had another idea, and then the person next to me again said one of the words I was thinking of, and so then it came to me. I was like, well, I have no idea, you know. So this is my game. It sucks. You know? Obviously, the podcast listeners can't see the video, but I'm kind of standing there, and I can even look on my face, and I can see that I'm just like, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of doing was playing on the fact that I was from England. So I was this London guy from Greenpeace for Ghana, something stupid like that. And I could only think of two pathetic jokes, or in my head they were pathetic, which was Madonna adopting little black kids from Africa,
uh-huh.
and a pun based on the fact that Shay Leonard said that her grandpa had just died and she didn't have a boyfriend. So this was the only thing I could think of,
yeah.
And the reaction that I was expecting was crash and burn.
Right, right.
That was, and I was like, but this is all I can think of. So I have to go yeah. out there and say it.
Hey, Shaylen, it's me, your mate from Greenpeace for Ghana in London. Well, such fun in Ghana, and you could like bring back a little baby boy and be just like Madonna. But don't worry about your boyfriend, right? It's going to be okay. You can make anyone stiffer than your granddad.
Yeah, see, that was filmed on someone's camera, and the sound gave out.
Yeah.
Because people were...
The reaction was so huge.
Yeah.
So, just clarify what you just said.
What I just said was, I said... First of all, I said, you could bring back a little baby boy and be just like Madonna.
Uh-huh.
And then I said, don't worry about your boyfriend, because you can make anyone stiffer than your granddad. It was awful. And like, after I felt bad, because Ryan Keel looked at me, like, in shock. In my head, I thought... Oh, that's just a terrible pun. Like, no one's going to think very much of that. Everyone was like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. Yes. That was outrageous. That's happened before. Like, I don't know. I think, like, oh, this is terrible. This is a terrible joke. And I get up there and I say it, and people think, what? That's ridiculous. And then other times I think, this is the funniest joke I've ever thought of. And I get up there and say it and be like, You just can't. I can't tell. Yeah. I can't read the audience, I guess.
Yeah, it's like some people have a real amazing sensibility about what's gonna land and what's not gonna land. Yeah. But with you, you've never done improv before. You have no idea what's gonna land, and you came out with the shit right there, man. That was
again like that was.
I think you won the show that joke by itself.
That was such a stab in the dark. I couldn't believe it. The fact that everyone was just like wetting themselves over yeah. the stupid pun on stiff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was it. And I just thought, that's crazy.
You kind of like, you cross the line, but people respect that too, because it was like so like shocking, you know?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
No wonder you got in the first night. Come on, man.
Schmimcast.
Now we have a few more questions here from the internet. Maybe this person knows you from England.
What are they
from
say?
Megan asked, how have you changed since high school?
Oh, no, that's not. That's actually one of Naomi's bridesmaids.
Oh!
She does it. She's only known me for a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
It's funny.
It's such a random question.
It is a random question. Like, oh. I've gotten taller. Voice has gotten lower. I've got less spots. I'm not at high school anymore.
Are you stiffer than you were before?
Oh, gosh.
Never mind.
I hope I'm looser than I was. No, it's...
That's what she said.
Changed since high school. Oh!
All right, well, good answer.
It's like a throwaway answer.
I have another one. A very personal question here.
Oh, okay.
Here it is. A question from Terry asks, when are you and Katie going to have kids?
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
This is my alter ego.
People really want to know about your personal life.
Well, my fiance is Naomi, but...
Yes.
So Katie, obviously, this is reference to my alter ego from a couple nights ago where I dressed as Russell Brand.
Oh, yes. And
which is actually how I won those Twizzlers.
Well, clearly.
So you have the Twizzlers because I dressed like, what would I call him?
Russell Brand? You dressed like A. Russell Brand.
A bit of a twit, but yeah. So it's funny because
that's
like,
awesome. So I have Russell Brand actually to thank.
You
for
have
these
Russell
Twizzlers.
Brand Twizzlers. You do. They're quirky. They're kooky. And they may have an STD. You never know. So, just like Russell Brand. But the comparisons between me and Russell Brand and Katy Perry and myself and my fiance are drawn because like he's from Essex and I'm from Essex. He's obviously an actor. I'm an actor.
Both have accents.
Yeah, both have. Well, he has more of this kind of accent. He has more of the Essex accent. So he does have like the very
this
kind of accent, whereas I don't, you know, it's because it was drilled into me by my grandma and my mum to always pronounce your T's and all this, that, and the other. And it wasn't having a laugh or having a laugh with a th, with an F. It was a laugh. Yeah. So yeah, that kind of thing. And Katy Perry, daughter of a pastor, singer, and Naomi, again, daughter of a pastor and a singer and performer. And it's just, these comparisons are bizarre. So, you know, so we dressed as them and we're like, oh, isn't this funny? Ha ha ha. And then we won funniest couple. So.
And so you're going to have a kid soon?
Yeah, so kids. Let's see. Well, right. We're thinking about going to Ghana. We may adopt one. or we may just take Drew Boudreau into our house and call it quits. There you go.
There you go.
There's a kid. It's more entertaining than a kid.
He can fend for himself, too, I think.
Yeah, he can talk to you as well. He doesn't have to just
and,
go.
And you could get history lessons from him, most likely.
There you go,
he
yeah.
He could teach you all about...
It's good to talk theology as well. If you ever,
he knows the presidents.
He's well... Yeah, he's well learned on... I think he's the Old Testament or New Testament as well.
Really? Is it the Bible?
Uh-huh.
Oh my God.
He knows his stuff. He's read up on it and stuff. We were talking about it at once for a rehearsal. I wouldn't say it wasn't surprising, but it was interesting.
Well, if you're into that kind of thing, hit Drew up. I would
there
say
you go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
or adopt him.
Don't
if
literally.
You, if
hit
you
Drew
can
up.
Beat AJ to adopting him, that is.
Huh? Yeah.
Schmimcast.
This question comes from Becca. Becca asks, how does he get his hair to be so pretty? And that's a compliment, because it's not cool when a guy has prettier hair than I do.
Oh, well, Becca, I don't know your hair. So I don't know if mine is prettier.
I think it is.
You think it is?
I'm pretty sure it is.
Oh. Well, I'm sure... Becca has very nice hair.
So how do you do it? Do you just, is it a shampoo or...
First of all, you have to have harp music playing.
What is harp? Hip-hop?
Harp. H-A-R-P.
Oh, harp music. Okay,
harp.
Gotcha.
Yeah, harp.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's my accent again.
Say it with the English accent.
And then every Englishman has a butler. And he prunes my hair. It takes about half an hour. No, this is a bull.
Is it Michael Caine?
It's...
I'm gonna do your hair now.
And not many people know that.
Oh, right. I normally only do this for Christian Bale, but I'll do it for you too.
Yes, thank you, sir.
How's my Michael Caine? Is that good?
That's good.
Is it not bad?
He's a little bit lower now, so he's kind of talking like that. Like, will you be taking the Batmobile out? I'll go open the cave for you. It's funny, actually.
That a euphemism, by the way? Open the cave?
Good grief. Funny, actually, going back to Megan's question, have you changed since high school? One of the things that has changed is I grow out my hair. And it's so funny that my hair has become like this, from that question, I can only assume has become an iconic thing about me. because I was bullied in high school primarily about my hair.
Really?
Yeah.
And you didn't have long hair then?
I didn't have long hair. I had short hair. And it kind of stuck out in weird places. Like, it had, like, a tuft on the side of my hair. But it kind of made my head look like a weird shape. Like, almost like a, you know, it was, like, big at the top. And I had this kind of, like...
sideburns?
Square chin. No, I didn't have sideburns.
Oh, okay.
A square chin, just kind of thing. I guess it looked weird. Or it did to the kids I went to high school with. And they just thought it was really funny to make fun of me for it. So when I got older and I grew my hair out... I was like, ah, screw it, I don't care anymore, kind of thing. And now all of a sudden it's like this thing I'm getting complimented for. And I'm just like...
You just never knew.
What?
You never knew you had such gorgeous, flowing, lovely hair. That's what it is, right? That's what it is. See, and now you just... It's like... It's your iconic
signature. There you go. And
signature.
It's one of those things. It's how people recognize me in the street.
That's fantastic.
But they never do.
Well, thank you, Becca, for that question.
Yeah, thanks, Becca. I'm sure, Becca, you have very pretty hair. Don't think my hair is prettier than yours. A man's hair can never be prettier than a woman's.
I don't know. His question comes from Improv Shmimprov.
Oh, okay.
Which could be any
number
of people.
That's a weird name for a child.
So it's one of the people who's an administrator on the Improv Shmimprov page. They ask you, how much do you weigh? I'm going to guess 10 pounds.
Close. So close. Again, funny.
Another personal question. God.
Funny story, but not very entertaining. When I... And I only realized this because I had it down in a thing, an app on my iPhone. When I first came to America, I weighed 141 pounds.
All right.
Weighing myself recently, I now weigh 154 pounds. And this is since living in America.
So that's the American diet.
It's the American diet, and it's semi-intentional, because, like, every time I go on a...
You must have been, like, a rare... Like, I mean, I can't... You must have been invisible when you got here, I should say.
Well, I mean, you know, you can't really tell. I mean, you look at, like, the Improv Idol video, and you can't tell
the difference. Yeah.
But I can tell, because, like, on my chest here, you could see, like, all my ribs.
It was skinny.
Whoa. So now, but now I
it
have
must
some,
be.
Now because, I have some padding there.
Yeah.
You can't see the ribs anymore, which is good. But every time I went for, like, a medical exam or stuff like that, they would always say, oh, you're underweight. And I went on the Wii Fit thing.
Yeah.
And, like, my little avatar gave a little thing, like, he would blow away in the
Son
wind. Wonderful. He looked like a blow pop. He was like stick thin, big ass head, and I was just like, great.
That's
wonderful.
Nice, because my avatar on the Wii Fit is like the fattest Oompa Loompa you've ever seen in your life. I was on it yesterday, and it says my you weighed 141 when you got here. It said my ideal weight is 145 pounds. Michael,
no.
Holy shit, that can't be right. That's impossible.
I'm somewhere it once.
You're taller. You're way taller than that. You're like,
I'm 6 foot
like
six, 3.
6 foot 3. Okay. And like I'm like, that can't be right. Like
it wants me to be anywhere above 160 pounds.
Oh my god, then how can my ideal weight be 145? That's not
well,
right.
Well, how tall are you?
I'm 5'8". It's
given your like body mass index and your height.
It's making me feel really fucking fat and guilty, man.
Oh, I know.
You,
well, WeFit's been in the news for stuff like that about
telling
kids you're obese in that cute little Japanese voice.
Yeah, they're obese. Yeah, it's like great. It's kind of like mean. I'm like, oh, fuck you, little machine. I paid $300 for you to say...
to get criticized.
That's obese.
Yep. And I get...
That's underweight.
Thank you. I've never heard it say to anyone, I've never heard it say...
That's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you're beautiful. Don't ever change. You're wonderful.
No.
That's obese.
Should start playing
you
that...
fat slob.
Christina Aguilera song. You're beautiful no matter what they say. Right?
Schmimcast. Danielle asks,
okay,
what's the most annoying thing about being British in the United States?
See, I think it's funny because I think Ricky Gervais was asked this on a talk show once. I guess it's like annoying, you know.
It's us making fun of your accent or trying to.
Well, it's the repetition of exactly what I've just said back to them. It's not okay because it's not like people saying, oh, so where are you from? Or even when they say, oh, so you're from New Zealand? It's not even that. That I just find hysterical. It is. It's like, it's when people...
Were you in Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. No, it's when people repeat, or you can see a snigger as well. Like, I've had to change...
Wait, what did you say?
Oh, a snigger. Oh, it's like a little laugh, a chuckle.
Okay, you know? Gotcha.
It's when
just
people...
Just want to be clear.
Well, see, and now this feeds into what I say. I have to change... I don't have to, but I feel like I do.
But some expressions don't translate quite to the
I have to
American
change
vernacular.
What I say. I have to change what I say. Like, I can't say a packet of crisps, because they'll say, what? Or I can't... Or, like you know, go to the toilet. Or even, I would even say, like, you know, go to the loo. And, you know, and then... But I can't say things like that because people just literally want to repeat it back to me.
Right.
Go to the loo. And it's like, yes, that is what I said.
Yeah.
One time I got so annoyed with it. I think it was even Spencer Blair's sister. I came out to the theatre lobby and I had to recruit all these actors back into the theatre. And I just said, would please all the actors make their way back into the lobby, please. Or back into the theatre stage. And Spencer's sister was like, please, all the actors, make all their way. And I just went, yes, that is how I talk. It's hilarious, isn't it? Everyone, please. After a while.
It's a burden,
like,
right?
Can you imagine? Can you, like, you know, if you ever had siblings and they repeat everything they say back to you, that annoying shadow game? Like,
oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets so annoying. So imagine living that day in, day out.
I gotcha.
Oh, God.
I gotcha.
And with a pseudo-British accent. So after a while, like, I literally try to avoid it when I can, so I'll use phrases and terms that I know are American and that I wouldn't ordinarily use, but I'll just use them because it just saves a lot of trouble.
It saves you being annoyed.
Saves me just going, yes, that's what I said. Thank you. And that's a very menial thing. But I'd say, all in all, I love being in America.
Oh, that's cool.
I really do. Like I say, I love the sunshine. Americans just have more of a, be yourself and have a can-do attitude than Brits are kind of just more, no, you have to be this kind of way. You have to conform, be this, be that. Whereas I've just come here and I've just been allowed to just be myself, and people find that hilarious and people find that great.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I bet it's probably easier in California than maybe in other parts. I imagine there's other places that's like that, but I mean, being a Californian for my entire life, like, it's always felt like a little bit more, you know, like, everyone's a little more
liberal,
a little more open-minded, and
open-minded, world-thinking. Yeah. Like, well, you'll find, you know, when you look at that map of the people who know kind of more what's going on in the world around them are those on the coast.
So, you know,
you got your California, Oregon, Washington State, and things like that, and then on the other side, you know, New York, New Jersey, and Florida, and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and I can't speak for inland America. I've only been to Louisiana, and, you know, and I can't speak for, like, the Deep South and stuff like that.
The
general consensus is that they have a lesser understanding of what's going on in the world around them. And
that seems to be the stereotype, at least.
And I mean, hopefully
it's wrong, I would say.
I hope it's wrong, too. I asked someone that once, like, what kind of reaction would I get if I went to the Deep South?
Right.
And someone said, you know, they were like, honestly, they said, you think you're kind of, you get raised eyebrows here, you know, oh man, if you went there, say, so people, you're
what is your business here,
right,
son?
you're not from around these parts, are you? Let me say the only time I've ever got a bit of, like, almost British, like, nationalism or against was when I was trying to get these things printed. Naomi had told me what sizes to get, so I was going by American sizes and I knew exactly what to do, and blah blah blah. So I said, I need, like, 15 of these in 10x8 kind of thing. So obviously the guy's already picked up that I have an accent, I'm in a foreign, and he's like, we don't do those sizes.
What?
Yeah, and I was like, oh, well, I thought you did. And he said, no, we're working with American sizes here.
Oh my god.
And I just sort of turned to him, I said, well, these were given to me by my American fiance. I really don't think that has anything to do with it. And I just thought, what a dick. Like, that was really out of line.
That does
just
seem
kind
pretty...
Blame the fact that I'm from another country on the fact that I got the wrong size, even though I didn't. That was kind of weird.
Hell.
That's really the only instance that I've had of some kind of foreign...
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's not good customer service.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's a melting pot here.
Yeah, you get people like him, and then you get people that they go, you look like Jim Carrey.
That just makes me laugh. That's adorable.
That was adorable.
Well, it's been a fantastic time. Is there anything else you'd like to promote or talk about that I missed?
Yes. By the time this will have gone out, then my fiance Naomi will have put on a fantastic show called The Whole Shebang, which is playing at Concordia University Irvine. I wish you would go see it, but
it's already happened
late.
At this point,
that's
most
okay.
likely.
That's
sorry.
All right. No, it's okay. As far as anything else we're doing, like I say, the Shmimprov sketch show, by the time this does go out, we should have a name and a date.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to be a really funny show.
Yeah, we've written a couple of sketches. I'm really happy with some of the sketches we've come out with. Some of them are just really silly. I don't want to give, like, much away, but, like, you know, when, like, Ryan Clark does his humor, he likes to take it where you don't expect it to go, so you've got some really surprising and shocking ones. But I think the theme with all of these sketches we're writing is that they're just silly.
Silly. Well, that makes sense.
Like, there's one that I've written involves gangster talk. I'm not going to give anything else away apart from that. But this shows how white and British I am. I went to write down this gangster talk, and then I stopped and I thought, I don't know how gangsters talk. So I Googled it. I had to freaking look it up on the internet. I was like, how do gangsters talk? Oh, I'm such a nerd. That was ridiculous. I was like, yeah. Well, there you go. I only grew up with British white youth thinking they were black American talking like Ali G, which is not the slant you want to take.
Right.
In this instance.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun. Let me plug a few things here for the upcoming events at the Maverick Theater. Improv Shmimprov, of course, you can check out every Friday and Saturday night at 11 p.m. It's only $5. It's cheap.
It's very cheap.
Maverick Theater in Orange County, California, and more specifically, Fullerton, California. Mm-hmm. We also have Chicago playing from May 27th through July 30th. Fantastic musical, classic Woo-hoo. American musical with lots of big production numbers.
Yeah, give them the old razzle dazzle.
That's right, man. After that is Get Smart, Night of the Living Dead in September and October, and then Santa Claus Conquers the Martians in December.
Again, what year will that be? That's been going on sixth?
Back for its fifth year or sixth year, something like that.
Are you once again reprising your role?
Most likely I will be playing the role of Santa Claus.
Have you been doing that since the start?
Almost. The first year I played the Martian Kemar.
Okay.
And the second year I started playing Santa Claus.
So you've been Santa like four times.
Yes. Nice. Yes.
Nice. So stable gig.
It's a funny show. It's a very funny show. Nate's hilarious in it as Voldar, the evil alien.
That's his name. Well, he has practice at that like every day, so.
Yeah. Being evil.
Seriously. You go to his house, he has this enormous dog. It scratched the hell out of me last time I went.
You gotta love dogs.
You all love them dogs.
Oh, them Is little dogs. Oh, little snuffly wuffly. Coochie coo my puppy whuppy. This isn't British slang, I'm just making this up.
Fantastic. Well, AJ, thank you so much for coming and doing this.
Thank you very much, Nick. It was really a pleasure.
I really enjoyed this very much.
Me too.
This was just a pleasurable chat we had, I think.
It was. It was a very nice chin wag.
It was. Chin wag. I'm not sure. That's hilarious.
By the way, you've definitely won because I think you got that 1 point.
Yes, in
and
the
you
beginning.
Held on to it.
Yes. So I deserve these Twizzlers that you brought.
Yes, you won the Twizzlers.
I'm gonna devour those damn
Twizzly
Twizzlers.
Wizzly Gizzly in your gut.
Is that really?
No.
Oh, you're just making shit up now.
Guzzle it down, but that's a drink, so never mind.
Well, folks, I hope you have a fantastic day wherever you are. Thank you for listening. Watch out for the slag slogs. Don't be a slag slog.
Or you'll feel as queer as a 10 bob note. No, 9 bob note. Oh, I got it wrong.
Thank you again for listening, and see you on the next episode.
See you then.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Schmimcast. Remember, for the latest episodes of Schmimcast, please visit www.schmimcast.com. You can email us at schmimcast@aol.com and hit us up on Twitter at Schmimcast. It's SHMIMCAST. That's twitter.com/schmimcast. And now...
I wanna fuck you in the ass.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. Tip top.
Pippin.
Stippin.
Goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, everyone. Have a fantastic day.
Woohoo. You have the power.
Schmimcast.